Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man. Welcome, gentlemen. We are now on to lesson number 19. So let's do this. So this is lesson number 19, Mastering Your Masculinity, Part 3. This is the cornerstones and the commodities of masculinity. So the four cornerstones of masculinity, which we've talked about a little bit in the last time, but we'll do this more fully this time. So the four cornerstones of masculinity are concepts that create the foundation at the heart of the masculine soul. As the cornerstone, like in a building, it's the primary part of the foundation of that building structure. And these cornerstones are primary parts of the structure of masculinity. So each of the four cornerstones are directly related to one side of the two masculine paradoxes. So on the low risk side of the risk paradox, we find the cornerstone of fortitude. On the high risk side of the risk paradox, we find the cornerstone of courage. On the detachment side of relationship paradox exists the cornerstone of autonomy. And on the attachment side, did I say attachment? The detachment side of the relationship paradox is where autonomy is found, detachment. On the attachment side of the relationship paradox is the cornerstone of connection. So the four cornerstones upon which masculinity is built are fortitude, courage, autonomy, and connection. I'll say it again. Fortitude, courage, autonomy, and connection. So if you look on your map, you'll see at the top connection, to the right fortitude, bottom autonomy, and to the left courage. So it is essential for any man who desires to develop his masculine heart to engage in these four concepts with intent and purpose. The work must be done to explore the essence of each cornerstone, to deepen understandings of these concepts, to evaluate the degree to which these exist within you, and to embrace personal practices which move you toward a full, mature, masculine presence in your world. So let's start with fortitude. The cornerstone of fortitude on the low-risk side of the risk paradox. Found on the secure or low-risk side of the risk paradox is fortitude. Fortitude is a word which means what it says. A man is a fort or a fortress. There are many places around the world that are named for being either in his history or presently their places of protection and military might. Like here in Colorado, we have Fort Collins, or on the East Coast is Fort Sumter. I remember walking on the grounds of Fort San Felipe del Moro in Puerto Rico. It's an awesome place. Now, here's a place set in the stone at the entrance of San Juan Bay, and it was designed to keep any ship that came near the bay under complete control. It's an incredibly strategic position up on the rocks, and it had more than 400 cannons at one point and other armaments. It was a place of strength and might, protecting Puerto Rico for centuries. A fort is a stronghold designed to protect, to hold fast against any attack, and can be an impenetrable force against other forces that come near. It's closed off and built up against something. It is strong. It's imperturbable. It's unshakable. This is fortitude. Fortitude is closed off, walled up, and strong as hell. Fortitude is an environment of low risk as it holds space that is safe and secure. Fortitude uses wisdom to make choices that are conservative and safe. It's powerful and protective. Fortitude is not open nor is it vulnerable, and only vulnerable if it might bring in more strength through collaboration. But even then, only so far. Fortitude is strength. Strength is core to a man's life. Men have been designed for strength. Strength is a man's glory. Strength is the ability to be free from external influence, to influence or change the world around you, and to protect those you love and care for. Fortitude is played out in two arenas, the physical and the psychological/spiritual. You will want to become as strong as possible with your body in the physical area, and you'll want to become as powerful with your internal core. This work is geared toward making you into a beast with internal strength, where not many things will shake your core, because fortitude is powerful. The physical is external fortitude, and the psychological spiritual is internal fortitude. Both are required to be a man of fortitude. The masculine is by nature very linked to the physical world. While our muscles and body are significant expressions of strength, our voice is potentially even more powerful. Especially as a man ages, his strength transitions from his muscles to his voice, where wisdom and mastery of life gives him what some people would call gravitas, or true influence. A man's voice is powerful. A man with substance can rein in a troubled moment with a strong no. His voice can be commanding and influential. His voice can bring wisdom and restraint. He can teach, influence, and bring life with your voice. Voice is a part of our strength that often has been forgotten and disregarded. Your voice will only be strong and influential if your core is strong. A strong core is internal fortitude. My core identity, worth, values, character, and confidence are deep, immovable, and unwavering. A man who has this has a strong, influential voice. From the beginning to the end of a man's life, strength is central. Since fortitude is a posture of being closed, this is often an aspect of masculinity that's seen as bad or maybe toxic. That's just very wrong. Every person on the planet has enjoyed the shelter of a strong masculine presence during their lives, or they have longed for it. The closed-off fortitude of the masculine soul provides some amazing benefits to all who rest in this safe harbor. As fortitude is closed to danger or threat, it's open to a select few to be within the confines of the safety of that fort. We'll talk more about who is able to rest within that strength, because not everybody has that privilege. Yeah, not everybody has the privilege of resting in your fortitude. Cornerstone number two, courage. On the high-risk side of the risk paradox is courage, the next cornerstone. Courage only exists in the face of vulnerability or danger. So courage is found in the world of high risk. Courage is the ability or willingness to confront fear, pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation with intentional action or voice. Physical courage is holding fast in the face of physical pain, hardship, death, or threat of death, while moral courage is the capability to act rightly in the face of opposition, shame, scandal, or discouragement. Courage is universally seen as a deeply respected masculine trait or virtue, often because it's expressed with selflessness and purpose. While a man may be willing to face physical danger, either to protect or for an adventure, many men do everything they can to avoid emotional or personal vulnerability, which vulnerability takes courage. Like I said earlier, men enjoy and respect watching men do highly risky behaviors, even if it is just for the fun of it. Most of us have done things we look back on as something thrilling that we actually survived with a sense of accomplishment. Men respect courage in whatever form it takes. We respect it and often look at it with admiration. We feel a sense of pride and self-respect when we face our deepest fears. Remember that courage is not the absence of fear, but standing strong in the face of fear. Men will maintain what seems to be what could be called stoic strength. Sometimes it is a submission to fear of exposure or being found out to be not good enough. It is just a withdrawal from a situation where I might be found out. Keeping myself from being exposed or seen for what I truly am is not courage. It's allowing fear to rule you. It takes courage to allow yourself to be vulnerable and open to be seen or possibly fail. Courage is vulnerability, and vulnerability is courage. This is where many men reject the concept of vulnerability as a part of masculinity. There's a reason to reject vulnerability, but only if there's no balance with fortitude. A man with vulnerability and no fortitude is not being masculine, just as a man with fortitude and no vulnerability is not as well. The disdain for vulnerability exists when it's seen as weakness, and many men in our culture have chosen to be submissive and weak. But this is weakness, not vulnerability. Vulnerability is not weakness, nor is it submission. Some reject the idea of vulnerability if a man seeks to be vulnerable to achieve a woman's endearment or validation. I would agree here. If that's the reason for engaging in openness and vulnerable expression of emotion to get a woman to like you or to be attracted to you, that is a kind of weak and pathetic posture of an orbiter. Anything done with the hope of gaining acceptance or approval is weak. That's not the vulnerability I'm speaking of. That's just submitting yourself to her judgment. That's submission. For men, vulnerability is not weak. It is a courageous choice to be open and exposed to potential harm, either from a relationship or adventure. Living a mature and healthy life with vitality requires periodic and times of timely choices of risk, openness, and exposure. We'll talk shortly how and when a wise man spends his valuable vulnerabilities. Just so you know, it's not often and with very few people. So vulnerability is not strength either. I just said vulnerability was not weakness. Got it? Vulnerability is not strength. Now, some see vulnerability as strength, and this is an absurd thought. The definition of vulnerable is that you're in a position of high risk. When you're vulnerable, you're exposed to potential harm or damage, either physically or emotionally. It's inherently placing yourself in a position of exposure. This is not a strong position. However, it is the ability to choose to live openly, wholeheartedly, and exposed to potential hurt, and that is vulnerable, and it takes courage, and courage reveals a type of internal strength. Some men have no interest in building their lives on the fortitude side of the equation, as though strength and power are toxic parts of a man. These men seem to be willing to complete the castration process themselves. Hopefully this is only figuratively, but nonetheless, as they eliminate the significant aspect of your masculine, they eliminate a significant aspect of the masculine soul. This is a distortion of masculinity as much as the man who is hyper-masculine with only fortitude without taking risk in the openness of vulnerability. Wisely choosing to put yourself in vulnerable situations is risky, but life-giving. It is interesting that foregoing fortitude is also a move to get women to approve of you, and that just doesn't work. Might in the short run, but long run, not at all. You'll eventually be rejected and even ridiculed by those you thought who would approve of you. And you just remember, the doormat gets no respect. So being vulnerable does not mean being a doormat. There are many contexts in which a man will experience vulnerability. I made a big list earlier in the last lesson. But pursuing intimacy with your spouse, playing with your kids, grieving at your grandmother's funeral, pride in your child's accomplishment, revealing your dark secrets to a friend, giving a toast at a wedding, feeling deeply when you learn you have cancer, starting a new business, experiencing the incompetent feeling of beginning to learn a musical instrument or martial art. All these things and all the categories I did mention a few pages ago when I was talking about exposure and risk. Since we are alive, we will be vulnerable. You will have health problems. You will age. You will have relationship issues. Life will fall apart at times. The void is real. If you do all you can to avoid any vulnerable situation or any vulnerability, you'll just be a dick. You will remain closed off, and you will not experience the richness and fullness of life. Courage is impossible without vulnerability. Courage is living with a life of openness, engagement, and availability. It opens you to abundance and vitality. As fortitude is closed, courage is open. The balance between those two is the tension of the risk paradox. Courage is required to experience the fullness of masculinity and life. As we stated earlier, life is unfair. We've been born with limitations, some more than others. When we choose ownership, responsibility, and agency rather than victimhood, then we can begin to move with courage in the most vulnerable parts of life and to experience our masculine self. Vulnerability is seen as weakness in our culture. Placing yourself in a position of risk where you're at the mercies of others is insanity to most men. Vulnerability is openness, transparency, and exposure. It's leaving yourself open to attack and being indefensible. At first glance, that's the last thing any man in our world would intentionally allow himself to be, is vulnerable. So contrary to the cultural viewpoint, vulnerability is one of the greatest allies in our quest for integrity, solidness, and healthy relationships. Vulnerability is actually a display of what's really under the hood, your true strength and manhood. Vulnerability is the true show of strength. A man who is unable to be vulnerable is actually showing weakness and fear. He believes he will die or be hurt if someone rejects him. A strong man can open himself up with courage and confidence, knowing he can withstand anything, even rejection or an attempt at shaming. Let's move on to the third cornerstone, connection. This is on the attached side of the relationship paradox. Connection is interaction with others where you are respected, loved, and wanted. Connection exists with other people when they know your story, accept you, and are in this journey with you. Connection creates what I refer to as entities that don't exist if there is no relationship. A family is an entity, a marriage or a couple is an entity, could be a community or a village as a thing, a tribe, a church, a team, a band of brothers, a group of friends. These are all entities that actually have personalities and substance. A lot of you guys have been in men's groups where there's kind of a personality amongst the group. It's an entity. This is our group. A couple who are married as two people, individual entities, come together as one to create a new entity, the couple. Then they add others, whether that's new kids or friends, to develop a community or family, a bigger entity. The defining factors of a relational entity is people and connection. So relationship connection is one of our primary needs as humans. Since it's so important, we will be fearful of rejection and or abandonment if people see who we really are. Will they accept me? When we don't believe we're okay, unacceptable, or unworthy, When shame defines you, you will do relational backflips and contortions to somehow try to keep those connections without letting yourself be known. We will sell ourselves out in order to be accepted or to fit in relationships. We may wear masks or develop a false persona in order to fit in. We may trade our integrity for connection. We will do what others want. We will live to please. We will give up ourselves to keep the peace or to try to get what we need. We do not reveal our true selves because we believe we will not be accepted if people knew who we really are. We live like a chameleon until good old Toto pulls back the curtain and we are exposed for who we really are, which at first is terrifying, but it's actually a great thing. We know it's a sham to begin with. I'm not presenting my true self, so even if they do accept me, they're not accepting my true self. That connection is based on non-reality. Relationship will not truly exist until you present your true self. Connection is impossible without autonomy or being your true self. This is another place where courage is part of the masculine endeavor, allowing your authentic true self to be seen and known. As you are able to be you, you can then build the relationships that you need so that you can thrive. Connection is developing and experiencing meaningful relationships, support, community, belonging, camaraderie, intimacy, being known, accepted, and liked. Whether it's expressed in your sexuality, your family, your gang, or political party, connection is absolutely important for a human soul. The tension between autonomy, being my true self, and connection, letting my true self be attached, is necessary for the masculine soul. So remember how science is beginning to notice how everything is in some kind of relationship? Everything is connected? We cannot escape connectedness. We will be connected. Our task is to take responsibility to take those connections and choose how you will develop them. Healthy or unhealthy, loving or abrasive, distant or close, it's your choice. Many men seem to be choosing to keep from relationship or commitment. It makes sense when you know that a prime driver in a man's life and decision-making is the concept of return on investment, or ROI. The ROI is an important consideration when choosing to marry or make a family. In our culture today, with the high rate of divorce and the very negative outcomes, men seem to be thinking twice if it will achieve for them the return that they want, since sometimes the odds are not very good. This is where the commodities come in. With whom, how, and when I will spend my precious time with my limited commodities. This is a huge question of return on investment. What or who will get me the outcome that I want from my investment? Or is that even possible? Cornerstone number 4, autonomy. So on the detached side of the relationship paradox is autonomy. This idea of being detached seems odd to many people, since we all know that no man is an island. Well, that is true. We do indeed need others in our lives, but this is the tension created by having a well-balanced life, and we need that balance. Autonomy is having integrity with your being. It's having an internal frame of reference. It's having freedom to be yourself, to pursue that which pleases you and helps you to thrive. Autonomy is personal freedom, healthy, true identity, authenticity, control over your own life, being an individual, and having personal power and influence. Autonomy is resistance to tyranny, fighting for what you know is right, doing what you want, having your own desires and opinions, being your own person. Autonomy is being a complete, whole person who does not need external validation or control. Autonomy is differentiation. So the concept of differentiation, can't even say it, the concept of differentiation is central here. So differentiation is a highfalutin word that just means being able to be who you are, to know and to say what you want, and have a plan, about where you are going. Do you remember pillar three? It's the five questions that you answered. Differentiation is just being able to answer those questions. Who am I? What do I want? Where am I going? Within the relationship. That's differentiation. Differentiation is opposite of being absorbed or enmeshed into a relational system, which operates where the members of that system need to lose themselves into the system to keep the system running. So for Trekkie fans, think of the Borg, where, remember, resistance is futile. The Borg's a really good example of that. If you know what that is, that's a massive place where a whole civilization was absorbed into the collective hive of the Borg. It was a really good view of evil and of the absorption. And for those of you who have seen your share of chick flicks, think of You Complete Me. That whole idea that I don't have a full, complete self and I need someone else. It would be any situation where you lose yourself. And that's what most chick flicks are all about. They're usually horrible relationship advice. So when you lose yourself, you actually lose it all. So enmeshment is the same as codependency, and it's not healthy. If you lose yourself, your sense of identity, your needs and wants, your dreams and purpose for another purpose, or to keep a group like your family happy, you're screwed. You've lost the battle and the war. As I've already alluded, many of us were raised in an enmeshed family system that required us to be a certain way in order to be acceptable or to fit in. If we made waves or had a differing opinion, we were shut down or possibly even rejected. We had to fly under the radar, be a good kid, don't make waves, keep mom calm, get good grades, win at sports, or just blend in to fit in. For those of you who have broken free from these systems, your autonomy has been hard earned. Most of us have stories of how difficult it's been to break free or how it still haunts us. Consider your present primary relationship. You've been reading this material because you want life to be different. You want change. But since your relationship was built on your former way of living, when you were not differentiated or a nice guy, your changes now may not be welcomed. This is part of welcoming that tension into your life. You are shaking things up by creating more autonomy or differentiation in your life. The hope is that your partner will come along with you, which usually happens, especially when you're building differentiation in them as well. But sometimes things do fall apart. That's a bummer since you really do care for them, but facing that possibility is inevitable if you are to be the person that you want to be, who you are. As you grow, this could happen with your spouse, some of your friends, or even your family of origin. Just remember, autonomy is being who you are, telling your story, and living with authenticity. So as a cornerstone, autonomy requires that you gain some very personal internal strength. And that's what was a big part of Pillar 1. If you need a refresher, go back and read Pillar 1, Awakening the Internal. You've been designed to move and live fully from an internal point of reference. Once you've been able to detach from needing others, external reference from your sense of self-worth, you will be able to attach in healthy ways. This is a really big deal. To attach, you need to detach. It seems counterintuitive, but you have to be yourself in order to attach. To become the man you want to be, you first must be autonomous. Right, now let's move into the four currencies of masculinity. So, a currency is a medium of exchange. You have one thing and you can trade it for another thing that you deem as valuable or more valuable as the thing that you have to exchange. We do this every single day. We take a dollar bill, deemed as valuable at the day's rate that would have it, and exchange it for whatever we might need at that moment. So commodities are similar to currencies. currencies are represented, a represented item like a dollar has no actual value except for what it represents. A commodity is usually the raw material used in exchange for currencies. You can then trade for whatever you see as valuable. So I'm going to use these two terms interchangeable, commodity, currency. If you've ever played a game like Pit or Settlers of Catan, you know what it means to trade commodities to get what you need in order to win. It's the same thing with the commodities where markets are things like corn, ore, wood, or wheat, and they're traded for money or other commodities or something more valuable. So transactions happen in business and relationships all day long. Now here it's important to understand and notice what a man has as commodities, your raw materials, that could be traded or exchanged for what you want and what you need in order to thrive. Understanding the nature of these transactions is necessary so that you can achieve your goals and live well. Initially, it's important just to know that as a man, you have significant commodities. So it's just important to know you've got them. The commodities are those things that you are able to give to others or exchange in order to increase your well-being, to experience fullness of life, or to provide for those you love. The four commodities, which are inner masculinity on this map, which we can give or trade, are strength, vulnerability, freedom, and love. So they're just on the edges of the cornerstones as well. So we'll see that. So on the fortitude side of the risk paradox is where we find the commodity of strength. On the courage side is where we find the commodity of vulnerability. On the autonomy side exists the commodity of freedom. On the connection side is the commodity of love. So the commodities are the currency of the masculine life. Your personal boundaries will allow you to budget your commodities and use them with wisdom and choice. A man with no boundaries, so boundaries reflect your values or your moral compass, will spend his currency willy-nilly and be left with nothing in the end. So he is a fool who allows others to determine how he spends his resources. So see your commodities as personal resources. You only have so much bandwidth. You only have so much to spend. Where, when, with whom, and why you spend them must be given significant consideration. Consider that you can only care for only a certain amount of people or causes. Not only is it okay to only care for those closest to you, it's essential. We do not have the bandwidth to care for every problem or for every person on the planet. You must be able to accept the fact that you really don't care enough for some things or some people. Here's a quote from Jack Donovan. Quote, "If we really cared about everyone, we would never even register feelings or microaggressions or first world problems because our brains would be blown out from watching third world ultraviolence. We'd be watching and liking and sharing nonstop videos of prison rapes and basement executions and reading stories about sex slavery and child prostitution. We would be outraged at the injustice of it all 24 hours a day, 7 days a week." Unquote. Often, you'll be drawn into the care for some cause or person. This is when you must consider deeply if this is one of the few things that you'll give your time and energy to. You know the dog commercials which rip your heart out, or the guy at the intersection that looks way down on his luck, or the way that media portray how some people are victims trying to get you to change something about their way of life, or your way of life. It's okay to say, "I don't care about that." It's okay to prioritize your values. I do care for those that are very close to me, and I will spend my currency on making sure that they are doing well. I will choose a few causes that I will support and some people that I will help. But when it comes down to it, for the majority of humanity, I just don't care enough to do something. I can't care for everything. That sounds cold, but it's the only way to roll since we have limited resources. Since we only have so much bandwidth, this is how we must use our currencies with great discernment. I will choose who and what I want to choose to use my valuable currencies on and when I want to use them. The value of commodities. One of the greatest stories of commodity is the story of Jacob and Esau. They were twins in the Bible, and Esau had been born first, with Jacob close behind. This meant, as the firstborn, Esau would receive the whole inheritance from his father Isaac. As was the way it was in those days, he would essentially get everything. Jacob, who was a devious individual, caught Esau in a moment when he was hungry, very hungry. After Esau had returned from a long hunt, Jacob offered Esau a bowl of red lentil soup. Taking advantage of Esau's hunger, Jacob got Esau to agree to release the inheritance to Jacob, and the soup was traded for it. Esau's hunger was satiated, but Jacob, through some other events as well, received the inheritance. So many of us are like Esau. We will sell off something of exceeding value for something fleeting, like food, sex, or validation. Most of us have done this. When have you sold your soul for something fleeting? I'm sure we all have a story about that. The goal here is that you will not only think twice, but with great consideration only to choose to spend your value commodity, your valuable commodity, with wisdom. Will you sell your soul for a bowl of chili? Or a short-term gain in a long-term game? But she was so hot! Or they said it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Or it was the next big thing. As I outline the four basic commodities, consider how valuable they really are. They are as valuable as Esau's inheritance. Spending your commodities wisely will get you what you want in life. Spending your commodities foolishly has the potential to destroy you. How you spend your commodities will determine outcomes in your life. So another question is, who will I spend my currency on? Our choices of who we allow into our lives is important as we move forward as a mature man. There are people who would just as well use you or abuse you. Some people are like that, but some people are solid gold. You must choose wisely. Find people with great character, reliability, and grace, and then make them part of your tribe. Find people that you trust, that you are glad that they are on your team and have your back. Innumerable are the men who have chosen the wrong woman because they did not vet out her character and her ability to be held accountable. These men seem to be strewn all over the landscape, broken, and deflated. I've assisted many of these men in trying to reclaim their lives. Getting life back is possible, but they've paid a difficult price. Your commodities are way more valuable than you realize. Let's look at the first commodity of strength. Strength is the commodity at the low risk side of the risk paradox. It's the right hand of fortitude. As fortitude is the experience and producer of power and safety, strength is the go-to. Strength is power. Strength is the ability to get things done. Strength is influence and capability. As with any commodity, we only have so much strength. We are limited in our musculature, in our skills, in our capabilities, our capacities. Our voice only has so much influence or reach. Consider your muscles. The physical strength of any person is limited. The strongest man in the world can lift a 300-pound dumbbell with one arm only three times. Actually, I saw that on the World's Strongest Man thing. He did it 3 times, but only 3 times. Even he is limited. Most men think their strength is found in their muscles. While muscles are a big part of strength, there's so much more. An unfit, flabby man can be beaten by a man with fit muscles. A man with big muscles can be defeated by a man with really good skill in martial arts. A man with skill in martial arts can be defeated by a man with a good team. A man with a good team can be overcome by a man who has inspired a nation with his voice. We must build every aspect of our strength, becoming stronger with your muscles and endurance. Become strong in your skills. Become strong in your leadership and influence. Become strong in your capabilities and abilities. Become strong in your voice and wisdom. And all these areas are areas of strength. You can build your power bandwidth. You can build your strength commodity. You can build yourself to have as much strength as possible. So the strength commodity is one that you can build most significantly. The others, vulnerability, freedom, and love, are more finite with less growth potential. But strength can be built, expanded, and grown. The more you build your strength, the more you have to offer. The more you have to offer, the more you have to spend. Or not. You can just hang on to it and spend it how you need to or want to. You don't have to spend it, especially not on what you or who you don't want to. Just realize your strength as growing capital. As you build your capacity for earning and providing, also build your social capital. Deepen your relationships with your networks. As a young man, you're just starting to build this strength. As you gain experience and wisdom, your capital will expand intentionally. We spend it when we go to work because we're taking our capabilities and time, then transferring it in transferring it into money so that we can live. If we've chosen to have a family, we spend our strength on providing. That's what we're choosing to spend our currency on, our family. How we spend our commodity depends on what we value. We also spend our currency of strength on whomever we choose to protect. Many men enjoy taking the role or responsibility of being a white knight, and they come to the rescue of the virgin damsel in distress. "I'm here to save the day, my lady." Being a white knight is using your strength to protect a woman in order to gain points. I might even get laid. Or to signal your virtue that you are just the type of man who would risk life and limb for some random woman. Regardless of why a man would do this, just know, whether it's foolish or not, it's a choice of how I spend my strength. Do you really want to risk your life for a woman who is foolish enough to get herself in that kind of dangerous situation? A woman of questionable character who will never give you a second glance when this is done? What's the wise choice? Personally, I think white knighting is usually and often very foolish. So save your strength and your protectivity for those you really love, for those who really deserve your protection, somebody with good character that you've already chosen. We can spend it on people. We can spend it on experience or both. It's just a choice. There's many messages in our culture today that says that to be a man you must provide for a woman and sacrifice yourself for her. That's just cultural pressure. Here, I'm saying that a man builds his strength and then chooses when, where, and with whom he uses and spends that commodity, and with wisdom as he pleases, not as culture dictates. You have the choice when and with whom, or even if you will make those sacrifices. So choose where you use your strength as you see fit. Your wisdom will help you to decide when to spend your strength. If you choose to spend your strength with a woman who does not have good character or a good moral compass, you will lose the game of life. Sometimes you'll just lose just about everything important to you and maybe even your soul. But if you choose to hold on to your strength and find a woman with character or a cause that has great value to you, spending your strength generously, you will achieve many great things that life has to offer. But you must choose where and when to spend your commodity with wisdom. Then life will be abundant. Let's go back to vulnerability. We've talked a lot about it already because it's a big deal. But vulnerability is the commodity at the right hand or high risk side. Actually, it's on the left hand side of the risk paradox. So vulnerability is the right hand of courage. As courage, it is the experience and producer of openness and facing uncertainty. Vulnerability is the go-to of courage. Vulnerability is allowing for openness to pain, hurt, potential defeat, or even failure. As is risk, vulnerability is placing yourself in a position of possible bankruptcy or loss. As bad as those definitions sound, vulnerability is the pathway to so many positive outcomes in life. Intimacy, depth of being, success in business, fun times, or triumph in endeavors. You must face risk if you're going to move forward in anything. Every historical event is filled with people who have placed themselves in vulnerable situations. We know the names of the heroes, Columbus, Shackleton, Armstrong, but most were just unnamed individuals who went on with their life, or they died there in the trench. We know the names of Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Edison, or Zuckerberg, but have you ever heard the people, names of those people whose businesses failed? We know the great champions of all the sports, Gretzky, Brady, Pele, Ruth, but we're really unfamiliar with those who just blew out their knee giving it their all in high school. They gave it their best. We are aware that our parents had enough vulnerability to make us, when they had sex, at least once, but did they have enough to hold it all together? Relationship vulnerability is one of the most difficult arenas of courage for men. Keeping a relationship going into deeper connection and life requires more vulnerability than some are willing to give. Danger is vulnerability. One way to put it is that vulnerability is putting yourself in a dangerous position. Consider any of the potentially dangerous situations in which a man might choose to engage. Rock climbing, approaching a woman to get her number, taking out a business loan, getting married, interviewing for a higher paying job. Of course, you may not be killed with all of these, but the danger of rejection or loss exists. And vulnerability is the willingness to make mistakes. We are surrounded by those who have given it a go with all they have, and we're surrounded by those who have been scared shitless to even try. Vulnerability is real, and it usually takes balls to engage with it no matter the context. This is why vulnerability and courage are so intertwined. So, how do I spend this commodity? You only have so much. You can only open yourself up to a very limited group of people. You can only go after so many opportunities. So how do you choose? Spending the commodity of vulnerability means that you would purposefully place yourself in a position where some of your greatest fears may be realized. Robert Allen says this, quote, "What you want is just on the other side of your comfort zone," unquote. We experience vulnerability with the deepest. No, we experience vulnerability the deepest with fear. Two of our deepest fears as humans are the fear of abandonment, rejection, or not belonging, or the fear of being devoured, absorbed, or loss of self. As you consider where and when you spend your vulnerability, be conscious of what you have been afraid of your entire life. Which one has it been? Abandonment, not fitting in, outcast, or rejected? Or underlying feeling of being absorbed by darkness, where your sense of self is slowly being lost? Look back into your family of origin to find out clues that will help you understand your deepest fears. And when you understand your fears, you'll understand how to move forward with courage. Courage is required to move into vulnerability. Wisdom is required to choose how, where, and when to place yourself into a vulnerable position. Do I go parachuting, free rock climbing, ask that woman her name, share something important with a friend? Is it time to explore my father or mother wound? Any of these choices are choosing vulnerability. Each choice places you in a position where you could potentially be rejected, exposed, or even die. Sometimes men have a difficult time talking about or expressing emotions. I believe most men actually do share their emotions. It's just how men do emotion is not accepted in today's society. Since men don't do emotion like women, men are often mislabeled with a concept called alexithymia. Because we don't express emotion like women, we're seen as flawed, like something is wrong with you if you're stoic. Alexithymia is the inability to identify, express, or describe one's feelings. Since we've been told our whole lives to hold back or stuff our emotions, many men do struggle with doing emotion efficiently. To be integrated, a man must be attentive to his internal processes, including emotion. We must build awareness of our emotions, build our vocabulary of what's going on inside of us, and be able to communicate those emotions so that we can care for ourselves well. Sharing our emotional process is an exercise in vulnerability. Expressing our emotion and what we are feeling deeply exposes our inner self to potential scrutiny and criticism. Most of us have experienced ridicule and have been exposed as incompetent in this area of life. Of course, that is vulnerable. This is why it's important to have strong boundaries around when and with whom we share these deep feelings. That is, who do we spend this commodity with? Men don't share their stuff with just anyone. So when you see a man being stoic in any situation, know that he's not spending this commodity with you, which is fine. Danger exists in this world. Living in this world requires courage. Courage requires vulnerability. Getting out of bed is dangerous. Driving is dangerous. Expressing your sexuality is dangerous. Allowing anyone to see your true heart is dangerous. Asking for help is dangerous. Life is full of danger, and vulnerability is placing yourself in any of those situations. So, how will you spend this valuable commodity? First, you must realize that you must have courage to allow vulnerability into your life. Vulnerability opens you up to so many things. Tell your story, be who you are, be authentic, feel, experience, let yourself be seen, develop intimacy, play, laugh, ask for help. All kinds of stuff. Don't be closed off all the time in your life. Just some of the time. Second, you must be wise with whom and where you allow your vulnerability to be expressed. Choose well who you spend your time with, who you give your heart to, and what business you start. You only have the bandwidth to give a few people your deep self. And usually only one person gets the deepest parts of you. So only let the closest people see the deepest parts of who you are. The action of choosing to be open and opening yourself to potential harm often seems like a pathway to death, like it feels dangerous. But actually, it opens you up to greater things in life. Vulnerability sometimes feels like certain death, and it feels like death because we think if we are exposed, people will reject us. Your external mask or self-protective walls will be then seen what they really are. Even though this feels tragic, having our method of hiding exposed for what it is, it's actually the greatest gift and will open us up to true living. Once we're able to begin to live from an authentic place, as we allow the truth of who we are to be seen, which is vulnerability, the opposite of our fears happen. We actually discover that good people around us want to be closer to us, and they actually enjoy being around us. So vulnerability is the pathway to intimacy. I'll say that again. Vulnerability is the pathway to intimacy. In your closest relationships, allowing yourself to be vulnerable results in relational closeness. Many of us have been closed off our entire lives because of shame and the belief that if I talk about inner struggles or experiences, that I'll be seen as less than or not enough. This belief has kept us from experiencing the depth of relationships and what they have to offer. Vulnerability is also the antidote to shame. Shame is the idea that something's wrong with me or that I'm inherently not acceptable. It's the idea that guilt is I made a mistake, shame is I am a mistake. The more we show up in our lives, we allow ourselves to be seen, the more we defeat the power of shame that is held over us. We begin to actually see that we are not to be rejected, but we're accepted and loved more than we ever knew possible. So defeating shame will take courage, and to defeat shame, you must be open to others. That is, be vulnerable. But what I'm saying is, choose well when and with whom you spend your commodity of vulnerability. It's only a few people. Freedom. So the commodity of freedom is on the autonomous side of the relationship paradox. Freedom is at the right hand of autonomy. As autonomy is the experience and producer of differentiation and building integrity, freedom is the empowerment of our autonomy. Freedom has to do with will, choice, accountability, and unconstrained agency. It is having the power to pursue and do what you desire. Freedom is associated with autonomy since autonomy is a posture of independence, self-governance, and freedom from external control. None of us will ever have complete freedom. We live in a society that has laws and ways of doing things. Some societies allow for more freedom than others. We live out the measure of independence that our society allows. Society might have some limitations, but many of us allow ourselves to be enslaved by fear or lies that have their root in our belief about life and who we are. In the Bible, Galatians 5:1 says, "It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Masculinity thrives in a context with independence and the ability of self-determination. Depending on your philosophical stance, true freedom may or may not exist in varying degrees. However, the masculine will usually push through toward whatever freedom is available, even if, or especially if, there is a threat of pain or death. The masculine always pushes toward freedom. There's something inside of a man which has the inherent resistance to tyranny. We strive to achieve and work. We work toward personal goals, and we push to gain something better for ourselves and those we love. Freedom is like power, the ability to get what you want, to do what you want. Sports is a great example of the desire for freedom. The strategy and physicality of any sport is to create that moment where the athlete achieves freedom and to break free from the opponent and score. Men love sports because we love freedom and victory. The struggle to accomplish and win represents more than just a game. It represents the struggle in life. That's one reason why sports is such a draw for men. So understanding our deep desire for freedom allows a deep understanding of how the masculine moves in relationship with women and the world. Look at freedom as a commodity. We only have so much time, energy, and capability. Our day is limited by 24 hours. Our energy is limited by how much we can do before we need to rest. We're only capable of so much. Unlike strength, which we can build, we actually can't increase or expand how much time we have in a day. That is limited. Our freedom is limited. We can make our time more efficient or increase the ability to achieve more in less time. We can eliminate addictions and distractions that keep us from living clean and well, which will bring more abundance and sustainability to the time and energy we have. But we're still only working with so much, and all men have a similar amount of time. So how do we choose to spend our time, energy, and capabilities? That's important. Who do I spend time with? What will I do for work? What will I want to accomplish with my day? Why would I want to invest so much time with a certain woman or a certain job? What is holding me back and stealing my precious time? Because time is a very precious commodity. Reclaiming your masculinity is reclaiming your freedom. It's becoming a man who is able to do what he sees is necessary and right. It's choosing according to your internal values and moral compass. It's making the decision to thrive. Your freedom will bring more power into your life and give you more space with which to master your masculinity. Now we're on love. Excuse me. So love is on the commodity. On the top, love is on the connection side of the relationship paradox at the very top of it. So love is the right-hand man of connection. So as connection is the experience and producer of openness and building relationship, love is the empowerment of connection. So we've all been flooded with ideas about what love is. People say it's a feeling. People say it's a decision. It's the affectionate feeling you might have for your mom. It's an experience you have when you have your favorite meal. It's the Twitterpation when you fall in love. Twitterpation from Bambi, if you remember, that whole idea of that feeling that you have of just all that excitement. Love is the attraction that you have with another human being when you see them. It's nostalgia when you consider the good times in the past. Or it's the attachment that you have for your kids or your friends. That sometimes transcends reason. Love has been described as an action where you move and give affection, compassion, or appreciation. It's that feeling when you are loyal to the well-being of another, or it's when you express kindness to someone else, or a desire for their happiness or for their thriving. Love has also been described as a virtue, oftentimes the highest virtue. And so as a virtue, it has goodness and honor, righteousness, dignity, kindness, decency, respectability, and purity. It's benevolence and care for others. It's generosity of the deepest kind, where you share your soul in connection with another. Love has been described in categories of either unconditional or conditional love. So I can give it as a choice with complete disregard to any action or way of being, totally unearned, or it can be transactional, where it's done where somebody did something to earn it. It could be deep understanding you have with others, whether it's kind of settled loyalty between family members or friends or in a band of brothers. Love is also that deep feeling in your groin when you're horny. It's that passion that moves you to want to have sex, the urge to merge. No wonder that love has been a subject of so many songs and movies, because it's in so many different parts of life, and it's designed to be that way. And love actually makes life worthwhile. So all these categories represent the love that men experience. So as far as this exercise in defining masculinity is concerned, love is the deep desire for connection, both emotional and sexual, and the unselfish, loyal concern for the good of another person. So as a commodity, we need to understand what love is, our capacity for love, and the way that we spend it. And this is where men usually get totally wrapped around the axle. So men throughout the ages have moved in chivalrous ways to try to get the hand of the maiden, which is not a bad endeavor, unless she is your all in all, or my world, or my density. Then it's really foolish. So if all your commodity of love is spent to get her hand, you are going to regret it. So putting a woman on the pedestal is as foolish as a man can get. So when the woman becomes your purpose, your world shrinks and becomes very, very small. So when it comes to love, don't get caught up with it being centered around just a woman. Now, I'm not saying that a relationship with a woman is not important or even primary, which it is on both accounts, but it must only be a part of your experience of life and love. So just remember, when a woman is your purpose, your world diminishes. This sounds kind of like I'm advocating polyamory or affairs and loving other women. Not at all. What I'm saying is that our expression of love must expand greatly into our world with your purpose and passion in many other forms. So absolutely, save all your sexual energy. That would be the Eros type of love for your woman. But expand your passion and excitement for life and living to making as much of a positive impact on your world as possible. In a sense, love the world and be passionate and live your purpose. She will love you for that. Most women don't like being on the pedestal. In the long run, it creates way too much pressure. She might think it's cool for a short term, but later she will resent you for it. So presently, it does seem like the expected role for many men is to rescue a single mom and to take her children as your own. You must be the good man because her ex is a dick. This is where your value is determined by your ability to rescue and to sacrifice yourself. You can do this if you wish. Just remember, your commodities you are spending are yours to choose where, when, and with whom I will spend them. You could choose to marry a single mom and adopt her children as your own. It's not a problem if it comes from a noble place of your internal choice, not out of neediness or what is expected of you from external sources, or what you should do. It could be a beautiful thing for you to bring children under your wing children that don't have a father. So for us, we chose for 8 years to do foster care, and we cared for kids whose parents couldn't or wouldn't do it. So we chose to feel the real pain and loss when we gave them back after building really deep connections with the kids. It was our chosen sacrifice. It was how we chose to spend our commodity of love. So how do you spend your love? And this is answered by where you will spend your focus, your attention, and your resources. It is what you place as your highest priorities. Your attention is yours, no one else's. Your choice of priority is yours. As with the other commodities, you only have so much. Where, with whom, when, and why will you spend it? There are voices that would scream at you to make them a priority and to try to capture your attention and focus. So stay strong, my son. Choose ahead of time what and where you'll have as your focus, where you'll spend your passion, where you'll spend your resources. Many times, your choice will actually be making a sacrifice, not a problem. You just have to choose it. When you spend your currency on someone else or for a cause, you will be sacrificing something very valuable to you. It is a gift that you have to offer. Only give that gift when you want to and to people who will receive it as it is, a valuable gift. Your focus and attention is a gift of your love. You can choose to be a statistic like so many other men who lose their wisdom and choose to give all of this commodity of love to a certain woman, with the hopes of gaining her validation. Or you can be wise and hold fast to your integrity and moral compass, and then choose well how to move in life with this precious commodity of love. So understanding the four consequences and the four commodities, the four cornerstones and the four commodities will help guide you to living out your masculinity with intent, purpose, and wisdom, and guide you into deeper understanding of masculinity. They will help you to know the foundations of who you are, how you've been designed to live. So from here, we will continue to build our map as we look at the quadrants, which will outline the four benchmarks, the eight muscles, and the four archetypes of our masculine soul. As the quadrants are explained, it will become very clear to you how masculinity has been designed to engage with our world with strength, vulnerability, freedom, and love. So here's a group reflection question. So I kind of outline the four cornerstones. First, the cornerstone of fortitude, which means I am a strong fortress, invulnerable, closed, and powerful. Cornerstone of courage, I face my fears, I engage with life, I take risks, I initiate. The cornerstone of autonomy, I am myself, I stand on my own feet, I am complete. Cornerstone of connection, I have my tribe, I build my relationships, I pursue intimacy. So, in what ways have you been a man of fortitude, where you're strong, walled off, a source of protection and strength for yourself and those you love? And how comfortable are you with this idea? Next question. What might have been keeping you from being this kind of man, and what have you been told about the kind of man who has this kind of strength? How have you been a man of courage, and where have you been willing to face risks, initiating things, and engaging with life, or not? In what ways do you feel the balance between fortitude and courage, being closed off and strong, while at the same time experiencing openness and risk? To what degree do you think that you have been able to live in autonomy, where you feel whole and complete? You stand on your own 2 feet without needing others to validate you, and you know who you are and what you want. When it comes to connection, how have you faltered? What have been your difficulties? What makes you hesitate? Or how have you dove in too deep, too needy, or too trusting? When have you had good, strong connections where you maintained a good balance of autonomy and connections? So of these cornerstones, fortitude, courage, connection, and autonomy, which ones do you want to develop further? So for those that you just listed, think of 3 things that you could do to become more confident with that concept. For instance, if you're not very good at connection, you could ask your woman on a face-to-face date, and then talk about your vision for the future of the relationship or something that's on your heart. You could list potential Mount Rushmore guys and make a plan to build those relationships. Or you could find a meetup group that does something you enjoy doing. You could join a group like a Bible study or a sports team. Get some more connection. Now let's look at the commodities. There's the commodity of strength, which is right with the fortitude, which is your abilities, your skills, your capital, your power, your presence, and your voice. There's the commodity of vulnerability, which is with courage, your willingness to live openly with emotions or adventure. Your commodity of freedom, which has to do with your autonomy, independence, self-governance, I would say sovereignty, your power to choose. The commodity of love, your passion, your benevolence, and your care for others. How have you spent your strength foolishly, and how have you built this commodity with intention? So tell that story. When it comes to being vulnerable, when have you used it wisely with positive outcomes, and when have you opened up too much at inappropriate times? Tell that story. How have you opened up in yourself to give your... Let me read that again. How have you allowed yourself to give up your freedom by getting enslaved to situations that then limited your freedom? And what have you done to increase freedom? And tell that story. So in what ways have you pursued love in foolish ways? And when has your love been amazing? And tell us that story. So which of these commodities have you built your bandwidth on the best? And what could you do to increase them more? Which of the commodities do you naturally do better, and which seem to be difficult? So of the 4 commodities, strength, freedom, vulnerability, and love, which ones would you want to develop? And just like before, listing the 3 that you put up, or list 3 things that you could help you to become more confident with that concept. For instance, if you choose vulnerability, you could allow yourself to feel deeply when you're moved. Say the words that need to be said when you think of something that you feel about, something, somebody that you care for, Or you could let a good friend know something you're struggling with right now. Or you could go skydiving. Something like that. So with that, what other insights or thoughts do you have about this lesson? Really looking forward to talking to you about this, and we'll talk more. And as always, stay solid, my friends.